If you've been reading the book of Acts, you might have been encouraged. I hope you have, because Acts is an encouraging book. It's a challenging book. It's a book that should spur you on. It's a book, actually, that should throw down a challenge to each and to every one of us. Because the book of Acts is what the church should be today. Okay? Not what we see on songs of praise, or on heaven and earth, God forbid. What a load of garbage. Hey, come on, I mean, it's absolute rubbish. And they're feeding this to the people, and people are feeding on it and thinking it's good, thinking this is church, and that's the reason they're not going to church. Because what they see... it's a mamby-pamby lifestyle that they're showing. Well, Acts is a lifestyle of signs, wonders and miracles. Jesus came and he lived on the earth, and what did he do? Did he heal people, Eric? He did, didn't he? Did he open blind eyes? Yeah, he did. Did he raise people from the dead? Are you sure? A bit of hesitation there. Have to check your Bible reading. Have to get your Bible reading for that one. Yes, he did. He did. He raised people from the dead. Now, wouldn't you be excited? And for every one of us, if one of your family members died rather suddenly, maybe unexpectedly, and we all went along and prayed for them and they came back to life, wouldn't you be excited? You would, wouldn't you? God, do you know what happened? And word would spread, wouldn't it? Go around the neighbourhood. Probably might get into the newspaper. Might get on TV. Be some good news for a change, wouldn't there? Hey, instead of all this doom and gloom, we're going into recession and everything's going downhill, and hallelujah. It may go downhill, but guess what? God is going up. Amen. Praise his name. His presence will rise in the presence of darkness. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Glory. And praise his name for that. So when you start to read Acts, you start to get excited and say... you've got to realise that there are just men and women in this book of Acts. They are just normal men and women. They're just like you, Mary. They're just like Philip. Just like Graham. Just like John. But guess what? They fell in love with Jesus. They fell in love with Jesus so much so, nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. They were absolutely... nobody existed other than Jesus. That's what it was for them. Nothing else existed. Only Jesus. And if you look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Before we go anywhere, what does Pentecost mean? Anybody any idea? Learned something today. Any idea what Pentecost means? No volunteers. Graham's muttering something underneath his breath. Huh? You're just thinking, right? Right, now, Pentecost, in the Greek, it means 50. It's the number 50. So that's what Pentecost means. So Pentecost in the Greek means the number 50. Okay? So what does Pentecost mean? Number 50. That's one meaning. Alright? And that's in the Greek. But you see, this word Pentecost also now takes on another meaning. And we're going to read about it. Okay? I'll just get my Bible. Stay there. Don't go away. Okay? Verse 2. Now you might find what I'm reading is slightly different to yours. Okay? But it's still okay. And suddenly, in other words, ba-boom! That made you jump, didn't it? Hey? And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Wow. Well, the first thing I want to bring out on this is verse 1. And it says, and they were all together. Another translation says, they were all there in one accord. Is that what yours says? Verse 1. In one place. Alright, in one place. Yeah, they're all together in one place. Where's one place? Is this one place? Okay, so we're all together in one place. We're all together. And we're all in one accord. When we were singing, right, each time we were singing, we were all using the same chord, weren't we? Well, we're endeavouring to anyway. in same key. We were all together in one accord, in harmony together, and no discord, no schisms, no separations, all in one accord. And when it says the disciples, and there was a number of them, a good number, 150 disciples gathered together in this upper room, and it says, and suddenly in verse 2, there came a noise from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And in verse 3, there appeared on them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. And in verse 6, it says, And when this sound occurred, a multitude came gathering and were bewildered because they were each one hearing them speaking in their own languages. Jerusalem was full of people from all over the globe, the then known world. And they'd all come into Jerusalem for various different reasons. And so there were many languages and many tongues being spoken. And suddenly, these 150 disciples of the Lord Jesus that were all gathered together, all with the same thing in mind, all with the same purpose, all with the same desires, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in all the different dialects and languages that were in Jerusalem. Do you know why? So that everybody could hear the message that Jesus died for their sins, for their sicknesses and for their diseases, and then on the third day he rose again victorious over sin, sickness and death, and he rules and reigns today, so that the message of Jesus could be sent right out through the world. And it says in that day there were 3,000 men and women all got saved. Praise God. What a start to the church. We need a new building. Hallelujah. Multiple meetings. Some of you would have to quit your jobs. Hello? Some of us would have to pack in what we're doing. And move into the ministry that God has given to you. Think about it. Shake the tree. Come on, shake the tree. Do you know something? This is the best preaching I've heard in the last 10 days. You'll be glad you didn't go to Georgia. Serious. They need prayer. And so, that's the beginning of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Have you got it? Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. You got it? Good. Great. So just going to read those three verses there. So then those who had received this word were baptized. That's these 3,000 souls were baptized and added to the church. And they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Four things that you've got to commit yourself to. Under the teaching. To fellowshipping. To breaking of bread. And to prayer. There's a challenge for you. Now you might have read, some of you have just read through this. And it's passed you by. That's okay. It won't pass you by for too long. And as they started to do this, in verse 43, this is what starts to happen. And everyone, that's all 3,000 of them, kept feeling a sense of fear and awesomeness. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Many wonders and signs were taking place. What's a wonder? What's a sign? Any idea? Something I was talking about earlier. No. Nobody going to talk to me? Miracles. Healings. Blind eyes being opened. Deaf ears being unstopped. The sick being healed. Yes, I see that hand. Wonderful things have happened, that's right. They are wonderful things. If people are raised from the dead, if somebody's blind or somebody's deaf and they can see and hear, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And God wants to do these things. The word says, Jesus in Hebrews, it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. That means I've got to change. You've got to change. Praise God. And so, as I've been reading through Acts, let's move on to Acts chapter 3. This is what happens when the church is in unity. This is what happens when the church is moving in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is what happens when the church has a passion for Jesus, when the church is not going to let anything else get in its way. Get out of routine. We all like a routine, don't we? We're secure in our routines. Get up at a certain time and go through certain things. And we have this routine and we like to do with things in a certain routine. We like to have things in a certain order because you can find them easier, can't you? You know, God sometimes comes down and just does that. God's a little bit, at times, like my pussycat used to be. When I used to do gardening, plant vegetables, when you've made the soil all nice and smooth and it's all fine and ready to receive the seed. Do you just throw the seed like that or do you put it in straight lines? You put it in straight lines, don't you? So that's what I did. I got some string at one end on a stick, and then I went down to the other end, stretched it out, and then I made a little channel, and I put carrot seeds in, and then I put my seeds in, next line, and there I had all these nicely laid out. Garden was nice and smooth. Looked wonderful. Then our cat came out. And she went, it's not been like that for a while. And she walked around it. And she thought, this is nice soil. It's usually hard. So she had a look round, came back up the garden, and then she raced down the garden, her ears went back, and she raced onto this plot of beautiful soil, and just skidded and spun round, all four legs out, you know. She thought it was wonderful, and I'm going, no, Kit. Well, you can imagine what happened later when the seeds came up. They weren't straight lines. There were carrots growing with cabbages. There were cabbages growing with carrots. They were all over the place. There's nothing you can do about it, you see. When she'd scattered it, there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to let them get on with it. And sometimes God comes down and scatters things around, and you've just got to get on with it. Yes. Just get on with it. Just do it. Yes. Haven't you? Same with your parsnips. Yeah, it just happens. And you say, oh, no. You see, don't dig up your seed, Edwin. You were on the other end, oh. Yeah, you see, this is it. We get impatient sometimes. We think God's not going to turn up. But he said, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. I'm always there for you. Sometimes there's a time of waiting. But we wait together in the presence of God. And so the disciples were gathered together, and signs, wonders and miracles began to happen. I've been so excited reading Acts this last few days. Chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple on the ninth hour of prayer, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg for alms for those of those who were entering the temple. Now then, what's an alm? What does it say in your Bible? Verse 2, right towards the end, after the beautiful gate, in order to beg. Money. Money. Or in order to beg for money. In no way of earning a living. Thank you for that. And so there he was begging. And he saw Peter and John, two disciples of Jesus, just like you, just like me, absolutely, totally in love with Jesus, committed to what was going to happen. Nothing else is going to faze him. And Peter looks at this man and says in verse 4, along with John, and fixing his gaze on him, and said, look at us, he said to him. Look at me. He said, look at me. The man thinks, oh, he must be going to give me a big load of money. Because that's what he's there for. This man wasn't thinking about being able to walk, because it had not happened before, as far as he knew. People like him could never walk. So he's thinking, when he said, look at me, he's thinking, oh, he's going to give me some money. He says, and then suddenly, Peter reaches down and grabs him by the right hand come here, give me your hand. And says, in the name of Jesus Christ, such as I give unto you. He says, I haven't got no gold, I haven't got no silver, but what I do have, I'm going to give it to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And the man jumped up and down. Go on, you can jump up and down. Sit down here, okay? Jumped up and down and started praising God. Guess what? He'd never, ever walked before. He'd never, ever walked before. Wow. And this man's 40 years old, approximately. So he's had 40 years sat, unable to walk. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, 2,000 years ago, the same today, now, the same forever, tomorrow. He changeth not. He's there for us. He's there to equip us. He's there to see that God will move in our lives. Chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 10. Let it be known of all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead by... Sorry, Acts. What did I say? Revelation. I'm trying to get Revelation. Yes, whether we'll have a revelation or not, we don't know, but praise God, we will. By the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. In good health. This is Jesus working through, or should be, working through you and me. You and me. Yeah? But you've got to have a passion. You've got to have a desire. You've got to make Jesus Lord of your life. And as we do that, we'll see things. But you see, we've got also to come together. Come together in one accord. One purpose, one goal, one mind. Yes. It means a sacrifice. But the end results far outweigh the sacrifice that you and I will ever, ever make. So I want to just encourage you in that, that as you press in and move forward. Some of you might say, well, I'm nobody really. I can't really do much. I don't know how far you've got in Acts, but turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Philip. Verse 5. Talks about a man called Philip. Never heard of him before. I think this is the first time that he appears. Who is he? He's not an apostle. He's not a prophet. Who is he? Who do you think he is? Give me an answer. Any answer will do. I'm desperate for somebody to talk to me. Thank you. Oh, yes. That's a lovely word. That's a lovely word, a servant. Philip, a deacon. Philip, the servant. I wonder, could it be like anybody here? John, the servant, she looks after the catering on a Sunday evening, etc. Graham puts the PA system out. Philip, not that Philip, our Philip, he's there at the moment, he's working on the PA. Zena, servant in Sunday school. See, suddenly, this deacon helps in the church, really committed. That's why he's a deacon. Because the word says, look for good men and women to be deacons and deaconesses that are on fire for the word of God, that have a passion for the word of God. He says, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord, in one voice, one unity, were all gathered together and were giving attention to what Philip was saying. And as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Wow, signs. What might these signs be? Any idea? I've given you a hint earlier. What might a sign be? What? No. Could be a direction, but not... Direction to God, yeah, but... Signs and wonders. It's a miracle, yeah. That's a good one. What's a miracle? Something good's happened. Okay, go on. That's right, you've been listening. If somebody can't walk and God heals them, and they can walk, that's a miracle. God's at work. And so, Philip, who's a deacon, Philip, who runs the PA, goes off to Samaria and starts sharing about Jesus. He gets up on a soapbox and starts to share about Jesus. And then as he does it, there are signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because there's a passion for Jesus. This is the church. This is what the church should be today. The Muslims, the Hindus, and every other religion won't be able to argue with that. They can't argue with that. Those that don't believe in miracles, those that don't believe in healings, can't argue with it. Well, they can, but they haven't got an argument with the foundation. When you talk to the JWs, I never argue doctrine with them. I tell them about what Jesus has done for me. I tell them about the healings that I've seen that Jesus has done. And you see their mouths open and their eyes open and they go. And they always have a young one with them, you know, a young convert. And the young convert, when you start talking like that, says, can we come back again and talk to you? They've never heard anything like it before. And the old one says, come with me, we're going. And you never see them again. Don't argue with them, you'll never get rid of them arguing with them. But you share the love of Christ. The power of the healing Jesus. Share them what Jesus has done. Verse 7 of Acts 8, it says, and in the cases of many who had unclean spirits, they were all coming out of them shouting with loud voices, and many who had been paralyzed and the lame were healed. This guy's just a deacon. But he's got so much love for Jesus. He's got so much love and he's got so much trust in God. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. And even Simon himself believed, and after he was baptized, he continued on with Philip, and he observed signs and great miracles, the word says. Great miracles, not just miracles. This is great miracles. What's your passion? Is your passion Jesus? Because if it is, what happened here is still available today. Great miracles, signs, wonders, and great miracles. And I just want to encourage you to press in and move forward in these things. I'm going to stop there because we're just going to do a little bit more worship. I'm going to carry on with this later on, maybe another day. Because we're going to be covering through Acts for the next, well, till the end of the month anyway. Don't stop reading Acts. If you've read it once, read it again. Because if you've read it once, it hasn't done its work in you yet. Have you seen any miracles? It's not done its work yet. Souls saved, salvation, things happening. Brings a passion, brings the people together, the four things. Praying together, being taught together, in fellowship together, and breaking bread together. It's powerful. And we need to press into that. The church needs to move on. The body of Christ needs to move forward. So that the signs, the wonders, and miracles are being done in the name of Jesus. And that things will be happening in your life. Yeah? That you'll come back here and say, guess what? This week, I was talking to somebody and they weren't feeling very well. And I laid hands on them and prayed for them. You know, the spirit of boldness. And you boldly declare Jesus. And this person said, oh, I feel better now. I've got healed. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And if we'll get that focus that it's all about Jesus, we'll stop being self-centered. Stop being motivated just by ourselves and our own desires, but we'll be motivated by a higher power. We'll be motivated by something greater. And we'll see things change. Praise God. Are you glad you're saved? Because the book of Acts is for today. It still should still be going on. It doesn't say at the end of the book of Acts, and that's the finish of it. It should still be going on. It should still be moving forward in your life and in my life. It's for the church today. I know people keep trying to tell us that, oh, you know, there's no more apostles and prophets, there's no more speaking in tongues, it's all over and done with. The last verse of Acts says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. It's still going on. It's still going on. And while the Holy Spirit is on the earth, the preaching of the gospel will still be going on. And it will go on unhindered. But the only way it's going to go on unhindered is when you and I have that passion. When you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. When you move forward as that evangelist. But to move forward, you've got to jump and get in that book and read it. That's got to be your passion. You will be an evangelist. But you need the book. You need to know the book. And the only way to know the book is to read the book. Is that all right? How do you know what's in the book? You read it. You're a smart cookie, you aren't you? Hey? You read it. Is that how you know what's in the book? Good. You read it. So we have to read the book. And as we read the book will become alive in you and me. This is God's seed. God's seed. Looking for good ground. And when you put seed in good ground, and you water it, and you get night and day over it, in a few days' time, you get little shoots springing up. growing up. It produces life. If you let this book start to move in your life, start to plant it in your life, it will bring forth an increase. It will bring a harvest. Amen? Praise God. I'm done for now, but we're going to just move over. And I just want us to move in.